We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Buckle up, because Metro is bringing you the best deal in wireless. Switch to Metro and get your choice of two awesome free phones from top brands like Samsung and LG with huge HD screens and tons of memory for all your pics and videos. So hurry into Metro and get your awesome free phones only at Metro. Plus sales tax and activation fee. Requires port-in of eligible number not currently active on T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Limit 4 per account or household. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 121. A Listenable Opinion brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. I'm Dan Hilton, and boy, oh boy, this is a big one. We talk about the influential voices in the FC Barcelona community, and that is what we have on the line today. I'm happy to introduce Alex from Total Barça. And Alex, thanks for joining the show, talking some transfer nonsense. I mean news with me, not necessarily just nonsense, but a lot of it is a lot of nonsense. But we have, even today, a big, big signing for the club as well. But Alex, being a representative from Total Barça, yours is an opinion that people truly trust, and I'm excited to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, today's show is going to look a little bit... We'll say the outline is a little more mixed than it usually is. We usually have, for those familiar, again, if it's your first time tuning into the Barcelona podcast, welcome. But if you've been here more than one time, we usually do a La Gran Pregunta, or a big question at the start of the show. And then we finish the show with the second part being La Ronda, where we get listener questions from the closed Facebook group. But today we're actually going to do a little bit of a mixed bag. It's basically going to be answering all these different listener questions kind of wrapped up in this little La Gran Pregunta about the January transfer window. So before we, even though the team has played against Getafe, and if it's you've had this in your ears in later than Thursday, then they've already played Levante as well in the Copa del Rey. But the January transfer window, the rumors, all the signings, that's the buzz. That's what we're talking about today. So the Gran Pregunta, La Ronda, what should Barcelona do in the January transfer window? And we had a question as well from Manga. Do we need new signings in the midseason window? If so, which positions should we be focusing on? And we'll focus first, Alex, on the signing on loan of Jason Murillo, already signed, incorporated on that substitutes bench against Getafe. And, you know, I wrote a piece for Barcelblog.com on the site that basically said, you know, he's more experienced than you think. He's had actually a few more injuries in his career than he has actually been, we'll say, red cards or had discipline or had issues with form. It basically has just been more so injuries than anything else. And what do you think of that signing from Maria? What does, I guess we'll already jump ahead a little bit, that signing of Todibo mean for Maria, you think?
I don't think it means that much. I mean, obviously, as you said, Maria's technically only here for 6 months right now. We do have the option to buy him, but think that it was definitely just a stopgap signing. We've seen Vermaelen get injured so many times, and also Umtiti still has this problem with his cartilage in his knee, and we don't know when he's going to be back. So just getting Maria in, someone that knows the league, for this 6 months was really important. And then in the summer, I expect we'll just send him back on his way.
Right. I think he would really have to impress if he was going to stay with the club. And what we've seen of him at Valencia, again, that was not necessarily out of form. He just fell out of favor with Marcelino, and then he just tumbles down the depth chart. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what have you seen of Murillo in the past that indicates that he could be I mean, because it is basically down to what direct competition with Vermaelen. I know that he is right-footed and Vermaelen is left-footed, but nevertheless, I think Murillo is, you know, I think that's where you see this contradiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't see him getting ahead of, you know, Lenglet or Umtiti in the ranks, but being able to compete with Marlon will be good for both of them, even if it's just for the 6 months. Obviously, as you said, Murillo did fall out of favour with Marcelino at Valencia for whatever reason, but the season before, he was their best centre-back, so he's obviously a player that can play at a very high level, and hopefully, if needed, he can be really, really good for us this season.
Yeah, right. He was a starter for Inter, and they might not have finished in the top three, but he had a top four finish there. And he's always been a guy that has been equal to the love of the club that he was playing at. We'll put, I guess, is the most diplomatic way of saying that. When he was at Valencia and Inter Milan, which is that next level of clubs, he was always good enough to play at that level. And this is his first step up to, we'll say, the real, real giants of the Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. Well, Real Madrid, not this year, but... let's move on quickly then to a guy not at the club at the moment. Who knows, again, with the news, if you had believed some sources, he was already going to be coming to club 2 weeks ago, or could be today, or could be tomorrow, or could be never still. And that is Adrien Rabiot. And I think one of the important notes of the PSG midfielder is that we didn't get any listener questions on this. It seems like people are all tuckered out from talking about Rabiot because, I mean... Of the January transfer window, this is the big argument. It's not, I think everyone agrees that one of the guys we'll talk about in the future, obviously, is De Jong. We'll bring him back up. But it seems like for De Jong, the argument is not whether or not everybody wants him. It seems like everybody wants him. It's just whether or not he could come to Barca and if that deal and all the money and everything can work out. But for Rabiot, the argument actually winds up being, I mean, half people are saying, we'll deal with him if that's what the club really wants. And the other half says, we don't want him. It seems no one is resoundingly excited about this kind of move for Rabiot, but it seems like the club is really pushing in a positive direction to try to bring him there.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. And if I have to bet on that, I'd imagine that at some we are going to see Rabiot playing for Barcelona. Yeah, nobody wants it, mainly due to the fact of past attitude problems and then the signing on fee, which is rumored to be around 10 million. With a 10 million yearly wage, and people have been fighting over that as well. But if he does come, I think that we've just got to hope that we get the 23-year-old player with a huge talent and potential, and not the player that's been threatening PSG with his demands and their attitude problems that we have seen in the past.
Right, I think all of that negativity off the field, again, wages are being a big argument that if he makes 10 million, not only does Barcelona, with the largest wage bill in the world, does that go up, but as even on a free transfer, it winds up being a lot of money and pressure on the club to make sure he's a pivotal part of the team. So let's say he falls out of form and he winds up not being that great. And oh, I mean, he is only 23, so we've already seen him be pretty inconsistent in his career. But just what's on the field of what you've seen of Rabiot now? Again, the PSG-Barcelona matchup that you think about, obviously, is the first leg where he was really, really good in that 4-0 win for PSG. And then just like the rest of his team, he was dismal in about a 35-minute stretch where Barcelona, of course, had that miraculous comeback. But what kind of player do you think Rabiot will need to be at Barcelona? I mean, yes, he is a defensive midfielder, but really more in the mold of Rakitic than the mold of Busquets. But he seems like he wants to play strictly in a midfield position where he's almost a box-to-box, but yet that's also not his profile. So what have you seen of him profiles for Barcelona?
Yeah, that is definitely going to be interesting to see if he does come, because as you say, I'd say that his best position would definitely be in the sixth role, a defensive midfield role, but he's obviously shown in the past that he doesn't want to play there, which... Yeah, again, I suppose you put down as another attitude problem. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're at a club like PSG or Barcelona and you're 20 years old, you know, 23 years old, you're not really always going to be in a position to make demands about where you want to play. So if he does come to Barca, even now with Busquets getting a bit older and obviously as we've seen this season not being at his brilliant best, that position isn't really... up for debate. Busquets is still going to be starting here next season. So I think that if he was to come in January or in the summer, he will be playing more of this Rakitic role, which, you know, at times does involve him dropping a little deeper, but yeah, more of a box-to-box, but doesn't quite have the, you know, the energy that we've seen from Vidal, who was one of the best box-to-box midfielders of his time. So it's going to be interesting. That's another, you know, topic that people have brought up, and they've been saying, what does he bring that our other midfielders don't? So, yeah, again, there's a lot of questions to be asked.
I mean, and does that also mean, as Eli asks, does that mean that either Rakitic or Vidal are leaving?
Yeah, I mean, that's another question. I think that within the next 12 months, one of them's going to be gone. The Vidal deal, definitely something of short term. I know we signed a three-year contract, but it almost seems as though Vidal wants to win the Champions League. He's come here to do that, and regardless of whether it happens this season, I mean, I hope it does, but I would not rule out him leaving again in the summer. Rakitic, as we've seen, he's getting a little bit older. He's still so important to us, but if a big deal comes in from it for him, from somebody like PSG, that could be accepted as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them two leave.
Well, speaking of French players coming on a free transfer, one that, you know, has happened so quickly and blindsided so many people, no one had the time to get all frustrated and get up in arms about it, and that is the free transfer, and this being made official by the club today, so just a few hours ago, a free transfer on what looks like a four-year contract for Jean-Claire Todibo from Toulouse in France. He plays in the first division, and the backstory of what he's been doing at the moment, it made a little more sense for him to come in January, but it seems like he is going to be coming in the summertime when that summer window opens up. And Eli again asked for a little more info on this. It did make sense again for him to come out because he's currently frozen out at Toulouse due to his contract dispute since the start of November. But prior to that, he had started 10 matches with a goal and an assist at center back. And he was really finding some good form from all reports. And since I'm not fluent in French, I did use Google Translate. But Google Translate was pretty confident that not only had he gone the full 90 in all of those matches, but just looking for the highlights, he's a guy that looks good on the ball because he, in his youth, played a defensive midfielder role. And he seems to have confidence. He's unfazed by a press. And he does, in what we see in just limited resources, look like a very good fit on the field. So it's like people cannot find a negative video to kind of attach any negative ideas to. But it seems like, again, not only does he have athleticism, the prototypical body, but this seems, for all intents and purposes, a very, very good piece of business for Barcelona. They're getting him for less than 10 million on a free transfer. And if reports that both Man City and Juventus were also hot on his tail and he rejected those to come to Barcelona, this looks like a home run for Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. On paper, it looks fantastic. As you said, 19 years old in France, they've been calling him the new Varane, which is obviously, you know, a big label to put on somebody, but there obviously must be something there for them to say in it. And I've also seen the highlights, and he does look very, very good. My only concern over this would be the fact that as we're not getting him in January, and he is frozen out, he hasn't played a game since about November, the fact that he might not play another game until we get him in the summer could potentially be a hindrance to him, because, you know, there's nothing to say that Toulouse are going to start playing him again now after he obviously agreed the deal somewhere else in the summer. So going about 6 months without playing, hopefully doesn't phase him. He is obviously 19 years old. Shouldn't be too much of an issue, but that'll be my only issue with it. As you said, free transfer. Nothing negative to say about it. It's a win-win for us, I think. Even if it turns out a couple of years down the line that he's not Barca quality, we'll be able to sell him on and make profit on him. So I think win-win there.
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword that now Toulouse has to deal with. That there was a contract dispute that got him frozen out. But if they find themselves, now they're not in a fight right now, but if they find themselves in a deep relegation fight, they might need to put what is probably their most talented center back, not the most experienced, but maybe the most talented center back on the field. And that might come just out of need. And for me, I think I'm actually on the opposite side of that. In that, being a 19-year-old, this is a pivotal time of development for him, and missing 9 months, obviously with the summertime being coupled on to the 6 months here, it being out of action for basically 9 months can really hamper development. But I think the calls as well for people of talking about Chumi and Cuenca and even Araujo with Barcelona B at the moment, unfortunately, it seems like their stock has gone down, that Chumi just doesn't have that top level. Yes, he's an all-around good center back, but he just doesn't seem that top level of speed, that top level of ingenuity on the ball, just commanding his back line. It just seems like there's just that one extra level missing to play at a Barcelona. He's going to be a professional. Same thing with Cuenca, who's might even be have the higher ceiling, but has been out of form this year. Cuenca, though, is left-footed, competing directly with Umtiti and Lenglet in the way that Valverde and past Barcelona managers have wanted to play with a left-footed center back on the left and a right-footed center back on the right. And with Todibo being right-footed, it seems like he really is, you know, at least being given a responsibility of slotting into a spot that Pique, I mean, should be resting a little more for. And now he'll be in direct competition with, we'll see if Mario even stays at the club. So if Mario's not around and isn't bought outright, then it's a Pique that seems like he has accepted that he is on the, it seems almost like he's in the twilight of his career. I know he's only 31, but he is making decisions and speaking in the same ways that Xavi spoke in at 34, and that other guys are speaking in their mid-30s. So it seems like Pique is kind of already doing the song and dance to set himself up to head out. And before we move to the next player, just a little quick thing on Todibo as well. He was born in the capital of the French Guiana in South America, and from what I can tell, his family, like many of the players on the French national team, emigrated to France, to just northeast of Paris, where he got his start at FC Les Lilas 93 before being picked up by Toulouse in 2016. And since then, he really has just blossomed as his talent. And, you know, it's only been about maybe, 6 months when his star power and the desire to know that he's going to be this great, great player has begun. And that kind of contradicts with the next guy, Frankie de Jong, who everybody and their mother kind of knows that this guy is a future superstar of the Dutch national team and of world football, it seems. And it's January 12th, so whenever you have this in your ears, today we're recording this on the 8th, but it seems like the 12th, that is the big day that is being circled on the calendar, Alex.
Yep. Obviously, we heard that news yesterday about Ajax wanting it all to be sorted by the 12th and Barca were having to make their official offer by the 12th. I mean, as for De Jong himself, it would honestly be a dream come true to sign him. He just seems to have, you know, potential in that midfield role, but I haven't seen a young player for a very long time. And to be honest, I don't think this is one that we should be letting slip. He's just, the talent that he's already shown at such a young age in both the Ajax system and the national team system, it's just, he looks honestly fantastic. A lot of young players get all hype put around them, and they get, you know, sometimes, as we've seen in the past at our club, with players such as Bojan, and they just don't quite manage to make it past that. But I think that all this hype around De Jong is well and truly deserved. He looks absolutely fantastic, and hopefully that is going to be our first signing of the summer.
Yeah, you look at it, I mean, what is his floor? And you talk about Bojan coming up through the club, and even young players that, I mean, contradict this immediately to Debo, where we have a limited sample size. And even when Umtiti came from Lyon, that wound up being just a home run of a signing, because again, he had played at a semi-high level, he had played in the Champions League with Lyon, but now he's taking that next step to the biggest club. But for Frankie de Jong, as what he has shown already in the Champions League and his performance against Bayern Munich in the Champions League this season, he's at 21 years old, he looks much more mature than that, and you think about what his floor is. So worst case scenarios for Frankie de Jong's career, it still looks absolutely fantastic, and a guy that you could work with in all regards. I mean, he'd immediately come to the club, and I think you could really sell him on being that starter. I think De Jong, I think it'd be an easy conversation to work out that even if Rabiot is in the picture, you know, you can sell to De Jong that he should have the confidence that he can overtake Rabiot from day one, and that he's in direct competition with the best that Barcelona have to offer in their starting positions. And even if he winds up being, we'll say on paper, better than Busquets, not career-wise, I'm saying, I mean, he has the opportunity to, but if Busquets at the very moment, who is, again, as we've said, looks slower, looked out of form this season, if De Jong comes in on the summer and looks already just to have it more than Busquets has it now, that's going to be a tough decision and a difficult thing for a manager, but that's a good problem to have this legendary midfielder in Busquets being pushed so hard by when we'll be about 22 years old. And the other thing that I do want to mention here is that for De Jong, a few weeks ago, when a trusted source in Paris said that he was very close to PSG. And, you know, I had even, not mistakenly, but I had even tweeted about that if he does potentially go to PSG, why it makes sense and why you can't hate the player. But regardless of Rabiot or not, I tend to judge this kind of thing on the people that don't live in our little Barcelona bubble. And it seems like a lot of neutral sites and a lot of people outside of our bubble believe that Barcelona is the front runner still.
Yep. I've seen countless people saying that Barcelona, you know, I'll give an example of Jordi Cruyff, who obviously, as we all know, son of Johan Cruyff. He's been involved slightly with Barcelona over the years. And he came out the other week and said that De Jong is suited for Barcelona and Barcelona is the prime destination for him. PSG have a good project, obviously funded by a lot of money, but I think that the style of play here in Barca is unmimicable almost. It's, you can't replicate it. You know, we talk a lot about Barca DNA, and De Jong certainly has that. And I think that if he wants to maximise his career, I think that moving to Barca now would be the best option for him.
And I think emotionally, I would be very disappointed if De Jong doesn't wind up being part of the Blaugrana. And one of the things we do talk about is you don't really celebrate or get excited. You try to tamper your expectations, if you will, for players that are not yet signed for your club. But I really do feel, I mean, again, giving myself a mulligan on it, if he doesn't sign for Barcelona, that I think this is a guy that, you know, I think we have a right. It sounds entitled, right, Alex? It sounds entitled that we say that we have a right to be upset if he doesn't sign with Barca. But that's because of how good he is and how perfect of a fit he is, that it seems like it all makes sense. And that kind of is different than the feeling for his teammate at Ajax and Matthijs de Ligt, where de Ligt feels like, yes, he'd be perfect at Barcelona. Everybody agrees with that. But it seems like, you know, Barcelona can't have everything. So at one point, that sense of entitlement does dry up. And I think it dries up immediately at De Jong. And we can't say that, you know, that De Jong and de Ligt both need to come to Barcelona. There's so many world-class teams that know that these two guys are two of the best young players in the world.
Yeah, and also going back to that entitlement, I mean, I think we're all guilty of it on Twitter. I mean, me especially. I mean, I've pretty much been talking about De Jong as though he's already a Barca player for the past few months. It just seems as though he's almost on loan to Ajax from us. It just is such a perfect fit that it will be very, very hard to take, as you said, if he doesn't end up at Barca.
Right, but De Ligt is, you know, different than that, with, you know, super agent in Mino Raiola making it very, very difficult. Not him making it difficult, but obviously De Ligt was just named the young player in the world. He's going to command a gigantic transfer fee, and I don't think that's affected by Todibo, because Todibo is a different case. He's one that Barcelona, he looks like he's good enough already, but he's only 19. He's very much unproven in a way that De Ligt is not. De Ligt is very much proven, as we talked about, with same thing as De Jong, with the Champions League, with already at the international level with the Netherlands. It looks like they're different pieces of business, and that's why this one looks so hard, because of his agent, notoriously with the high transfer fees. Obviously, Virgil van Dijk over the summertime, he inflated the center back market, just like Neymar inflated the entire market, and so De Ligt is going to be expensive. And the other tough thing about Raiola, you have to have a good relationship with him, because Barcelona know that they're going to have to deal with him in the future as well. He's the agent of Xavi Simons, of the Cadet A team, and other Barcelona players and potential future players. You know he's going to represent them. So this is a tightrope that Barcelona and really all clubs have to walk with a super agent like him. And if you had to guess, Alex, knee-jerk reaction, is De Ligt ever going to be in a Barcelona uniform?
Not soon. I can't see it. I think that it's definitely one or the other, and we've definitely chosen De Jong. So not soon, I'll say that.
Yeah, and you know, if Titi's health is such a big part of the center back picture as well, that, I mean, when push came to shove, Titi and Lenglet, two left-footed center backs, could play together. And that is, you know, kind of a truth, but Titi's knee is such a worrying part of this. So let's switch though to the other side of the field and talk about players at the club. Currently, it seems like Munir, this is a bad situation. Due to a contract dispute, it looks like he's gotten the Todibo treatment and that he has been frozen out and will no longer be backing up Suarez. And not like he was backing up Luis Suarez a lot, but with 5 games now in 12 days, it would really be helpful if somebody could be that center forward behind him.
Yep, absolutely. It's a bad situation just based on the fact that, as you said, he's the only other natural number nine in the squad. We have other forwards, such as Malcolm, who's coming off the bench, but Munir's the only one that doesn't want the ball to his feet so he can run with it. You know, we can use Munir as an out ball, he can send balls up to him. And while he isn't, you know, Munir's not world class, he's probably not going to be world class, but it's just that profile which, if we do let him go in January, we're going to be needing that, we're going to be lacking that at times throughout the season. And as you said, the schedules are only going to get tougher, and I think it could be a mistake letting him go.
And you mentioned Malcolm. The rumors of him to China or Lazio on loan, both of those seem like, and I'll use a word from the UK here, they both seem like hogwash to me. That Malcolm, and with Munir now on, you know, having seemingly on the outs, I mean, obviously we expect him to leave in the summertime, but now if he's not going to feature at all for the second half of the season, one, is there truth to that? And would you sell on to China if the number were big enough? And part two of that, would you double down on the opposite of that and feel like he could play all across the front three if necessary in this congested time?
I mean, I think it's difficult with Malcolm. He was definitely bought as a market opportunity and not as a player that we just extensively scouted and decided that we needed.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, yep.
Yeah, he's definitely not a nine. He is a winger. He wants the ball at his feet so he can run with it. And that's another player that we have, like Dembele, Messi does it, Coutinho likes to do it. So I'm not entirely sure that he'd be able to play that role. However, would I accept a big chance of being for him now? No, I wouldn't. The reason with that is that any type of money that China are going to offer now, they're also going to be able to offer that in the summer or in a year's time. He's young, he's only going to get better, and that's even if he is only playing limited minutes. So I wouldn't be accepting anything for him now, no.
Yeah, I find that when you look down the pipeline, the winger role, as you just mentioned, and having the ball at your feet is an interesting dichotomy that the club has from their top levels down, in that you have Messi, Dembele, Coutinho, and Malcolm, as you mentioned, who all kind of, you know, are going to go outside in and play out with the ball at their feet. But then below them, even filling in there, that you might have Carlos Perez playing for the B team, but he seems like a guy that when his contract is up, he'll move on. He just doesn't seem like he's at 20 going to be a first team player. And then you have the Canadian in Tabla. And yet, again, he seems like, for his Barcelona B teammates, one of the farthest positions away. You know, Puig, obviously, Oriol Busquets, those guys seem much closer to the first team than the wingers do. And, you know, there are some very, very good wingers down the system, but they're only 15, 16 years old, and now that's already what we're talking about here. So it seems like while there seems like a ton of guys who need the ball at their feet at the first team level, if Malcolm were to leave, that immediately seems like there's a lack of depth there. And one of the guys who was playing there, Denis Suarez, seems like him to Arsenal. Again, depending on when you have this in your ears, that might already be done. He was arguably his best while playing for Unai Emery at Sevilla. I see so many people, again, we're on Twitter a lot, and so many people have dedicated their profiles and their avatars to Denis Suarez. Everyone always believed that he was pretty good, but, I mean, don't look now. He just had a birthday, and he's now fully in his mid-20s, and it looks like, you know, he has to reach his peak very, very soon, and it's never going to be at Barcelona.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love Denis Suarez as a person. He's been a good professional over the years, but there is not a lot there as a player, not at Barca. Obviously, when we bought him, he was 21 years old, and we had a 2.5 million clause on him, which we'd had from way back in the academy days. So it was a no-brainer to get him in. And obviously, when we eventually do sell him, if it's to Arsenal or wherever, we will be able to make profit on his transfer fee, which is great. But yeah, he doesn't fit in. He's not robust enough to be an interior midfielder, and he doesn't have the dribbling skills to play on the wing. It's a bit of a lost cause with him, I think. And yeah, it's going to be sooner rather than later that we see him out.
And he has been ambitious in his career. I mean, he went to the Man City Youth Academy, then he comes back to Barca. He's played at Villarreal, he's played at Sevilla. And, you know, if he does go to Arsenal, you know, as we talked about, Barcelona's a top level. It is tough because you are, again, if you're playing on the wing, you're directly competing with Dembele and Messi, and Coutinho. And that is so difficult to ask of any player. And even when he came to the club, it was as a central midfielder. So he was directly competing when he came back to the club with Andres Iniesta and Ivan Rakitic. And that is, again, a difficult ask for anybody. And even on the bench, though, there's quality on the bench, where then this offseason, here comes Vidal. and good luck then beating him. And then you have a young player in Malcolm for the price that he came. So Denis Suarez on the depth chart, it was always going to be a lot to ask. But again, he is a guy who's fully capable of playing at that second level of clubs, be it the Arsenals, the Valencias, Sevillas. And no disrespect to any of them. Sevilla's giving Barcelona a good fight in the title race. But again, the starting 11 of FC Barcelona, like a Real Madrid, like a Bayern Munich, like a Man City, those are lofty, lofty asks of any player. And he just was never going to reach that top level. And yeah, he's now at the age where you know exactly what he is and what he could be at Barcelona. And now, speaking of some crazy rumors, while the Denis Suarez to Arsenal makes a lot of sense, we've also heard Rakitic to PSG and Jordi Alba to Juventus, not now, but in the summer. And again, that's the downside of this January transfer nonsense, where you get a lot of different things here. And how much validity do you put in those two rumors in particular? And we've talked about the possible midfield congestion. Is Rakitic, at the end of the day, the odd man out with how much he plays? I think, you know, if he leaves the club, a lot of men get freed up. But you also look, he is very, very essential. Maybe the most essential player, sans Messi, to the way that Barcelona are currently playing.
The transfer rumors, certainly silly season, as we say. And no, I mean, I couldn't, you know, Rakitic to PSG is something we heard in the summer as well. But no, I don't see any of these. These are just to create, you know, headlines, create clips. And I don't see any of these moves, you know, coming to life. But as for Rakitic, yes, if he did leave, there would be a lot of minutes freed up for some of the other players, but we'd also certainly miss his presence. And he gets a lot of, you know, abuse pretty much on Twitter, and a lot of people saying that he's not a Barcelona level player and he shouldn't be playing here, which is just absolute nonsense in my opinion. He's been ever present for us, and we rely on him more than a lot of people think. He's just been absolutely great for us, and I don't see him leaving, definitely not in January, and I think that they'll get another couple of seasons out of him for sure.
Well, and Charlie Barca asks, how do you think Rakitic will get that rest? How can Valverde rotate him?
Yeah, I think for Valverde, who obviously does have his favourites, Rakitic is certainly one of them. It's been difficult for him to almost be brave enough to take him out, but I think that with Vidal here now, who's made, in my opinion, such a great impact on the squad in the few months he's already been here, I think that if he almost like to like, Vidal definitely doesn't have the calmness and ability to play as deep as Rakitic sometimes does, but the amount of energy that Vidal brings could certainly make up for a bit of that. So I think that giving Vidal more minutes, allowing him to play 90 minutes instead of taking him off, the moments where Vidal does get taken off in about the 70th minute or so, bringing Rakitic off and giving him a bit of a rest could benefit us in the long run, especially going into the summer months.
Yeah, and the way that he was dropping in, as people use the word libero there, between the two center backs, basically making Barca a 3-4-3 against Hedafe. Do you find with that rotation that putting Alba and Sergi Roberto together is a tough thing for Valverde that he has to look at? Do you find, this is a question from Douglas, with Roberto returning to the starting lineup, you know, how does Valverde create that balance with getting those guys to be able to fill that space and shore up that defense?
Yeah, I think that in the game against Getafe, you know, with that specific system, I think that going forward, Roberto is really good there. He's got a great cross on him, and he's able to link up really effectively with our attack. Him and Messi always have something going on, and obviously Alba and Messi have that special partnership. But as for the right back position, I think that it was, you know, slightly premature, honestly, for Roberto to come straight back in, because Semedo, in the games that Roberto missed, while there are moments where it seems as though he almost loses concentration and he gets caught out of position a little bit, I think that defensively, Semedo is fairly solid. And while he does sometimes struggle with decision-making, especially in the final third, where Roberto excels, I think that with his ceiling at right back, I think that Valverde should be now trying to just transition Semedo in to a starting spot there.
Well, speaking of guys that could be in the starting lineup but aren't, this is Felipe Coutinho. There's a rumor about him to Man United that has popped up that, again, that seems just like the Rakitic and Jordi Alba stuff, a little bit of hogwash. But, you know, Ted asks, any truth to these Coutinho sale rumors? Would Barcelona take a loss or let him go for 160 million euros? And then Debdeep also asks about Coutinho. Again, the big thing is about getting the best out of him, and he's the one player for Barca at the moment. Again, Busquets a little bit out of form. Guys coming back from injury, true, but Coutinho is a guy who seems that he is out of form right now with Barcelona. And Debdeep asks, should he be played as a Ramduter? And that is a word that basically explains Thomas Müller, where he's a guy that can kind of get free range, move into the space he wants. He could be up top, but he's out on the wings, or he's dropping in behind the striker. And not that the system revolves around him, but everyone has very specific jobs to allow this to happen.
I think that if you wanted somebody to play as a Ramduter at Barca in this current system, it would be almost impossible with Messi there, because that they are the pockets of space that Messi likes to occupy himself. So whereas I do think that Coutinho's best possible position would be kind of that number 10 role in that pocket of space that we see players like Thomas Müller occupy, I just don't think that's possible here. And I mean, surely the club knew that before buying him, and the player must have certainly known that. So I don't think that it's a huge problem that he can't play there for us. And as you said, he was so productive last season in the minutes he did play. He got a lot of important goals and assists. I wouldn't say he's been considered being a flop here so far, and I think that we are still going to be able to see the best of him, but it just requires Valverde to take a couple more risks with his lineups, and, you know, sometimes losing a bit of stability or energy that we see when he plays people like Rakitic and Vidal together, and being able to put Coutinho just in front of Rakitic and just in front of Busquets and allowing him a little bit of freedom on the left of midfield, which I think that he could still be the world-class player that we've seen over the past couple of years there.
Yeah, I think you just got to continue to put trust in Coutinho that he will figure it out some way. That I think, you know, we said that not having him available for the Champions League played a big role last season. Again, when Barcelona fell to Roma, it was a one-off night, but again, you have this, there's again this idea that Coutinho there for rotation maybe there, or Coutinho just being in the club last season would have been an important piece of the puzzle. And speaking of Brazilians out on the wing, I'm just going to say the name Neymar, Alex, and I think I'll let you respond to the current rumors and everything you hear about him.
Yeah, it's just a name that won't keep away. You know, I think that when we sold in 2017, it seemed as though that chapter was closed, but the media certainly doesn't want us to think that, and we've heard rumours about him coming back pretty much ever since. For two reasons, I don't think it's going to happen. The first one being economically, we sold him for 200 million, or 220 million, of course, and I just don't see PSG ever letting him go for less than that, which would make that just almost an impossible deal. They're trying to buy De Jong, you know, it just doesn't make sense for us to be spending that amount of money without selling somebody such as Dembele or Coutinho, which I do not want to see happen. If Neymar came back in the summer or in January or whenever, the obvious player's position that he would take would be Dembele, which to me makes absolutely no sense. Dembele's 21 years old. He needs all the playing time he can get, and in my opinion, I think that he can reach the Neymar levels quite easily. So I don't believe the Neymar rumours. I don't want to believe them, and I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's the best for both parties. The time is done. I think that's where it should be left.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, surprising to me. We know what Real Madrid and Espanyol mean to Culés, but you know the name PSG on the financial side and the transfer side of this. This is just again the connection that the media at least is putting between these two clubs. It's frustrating. It's just too much. I think there's just so much of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that they're almost trying to create this, almost as though they're trying to create this rivalry between the two clubs over the Neymar deal. And of course, we obviously played them in the Champions League and that infamous two-legged affair, and they're trying to create this kind of, almost the same as we have with Real Madrid, but it just seems too artificial. PSG, at the end of the day, we're just two of the biggest clubs in Europe right now. We're competing for the same players as we see with De Jong and with De Ligt. So, yeah, but I don't like it either, to be honest, at the end of the day. It's too forced by the media, and, you know, they're not one of our biggest competitors. They're not in our league insane, are they? So if we play them again in the Champions League, then yeah, that's when we're going to compete with them. But until then, it's just a bit too much by the media, indeed.
Yeah, I think the better rival, well, that isn't a rival, is Man City, of course, because Man City has tried to poach so many of the La Masia players and so many of the officials behind the scenes that are floating around in the Camp Nou. And so, I mean, and they didn't poach Pep Guardiola, but there are, you know, distinct connections with the way that they want to play and all of these different things. And, you know, the difference between Man City and PSG and Barcelona, obviously, is who's funding things. And so that winds up, I think, again, Man City is a more direct rival, but yet the way Messi plays against English clubs, you don't hear too much of that. So let's transfer to wrap this show up. We're going to do a few little one-offs here, Alex, and I'll just kind of, again, throw this idea at you and see what you think about these things. From one, Moussa Wagwe of Barcelona B. I think with him coming back healthy, he was injured again against over the weekend for Barca B, but we'll see how he is. And again, if he can get healthy quickly, the paperwork seems done and he could play a role in terms of depth in Copa del Rey, but we don't know what his ceiling is. It seems like people at the club are saying that he is a really, really special player at right back that could give immediate competition to Semedo and Roberto, and that is nothing but a good sign. So it'd be nice to see him feel like a January transfer.
Yeah, absolutely. From what I've personally seen, I have to agree with that. I think that he looks great. He looks comfortable. He's obviously far too good for the Segunda B division, which he's playing in with Barca B. You know, he seems as though he's already well surpassed that. We saw him in the World Cup with Senegal, and I thought he was great there as well. And I would not be surprised if, with the upcoming Copa game against Levante, I wouldn't be surprised to see him feature and really impress, to be honest. If he does, I hope that Valverde takes the opportunity to be, you know, brave with him and persevere with him in the first team. And that, as you say, could prove to be great for us with our tough schedule in the coming months.
And speaking of Barcelona B outside backs, Ignacio Villarasa has come back to La Masia from Cornea to join Barca B and be Juan Miranda's backup, and that could free Juan Miranda up. We saw that he was on the bench a lot, but this is, again, a move for Barca B. They've been playing Guillaume, who is generally a right winger and a right back, but he's been playing left back out of position. So this is for depth at Barcelona B. Again, it could affect Juan Miranda making the substitutes benched or relieving Alba a little bit more, but I don't see that. I see it just as cover for Barca B in Valarasa being the backup for Miranda, just having two left backs there. And then a story that was circulating on November the 1st, and that was the only day this story came out, was that Barcelona were hot on the tails and had lost out on, and you expect this, so every agent is going to say that their young player has been linked with Barcelona, especially Spanish young players. And this one we're talking about now is Sporting Gijón's 17-year-old right winger, Palau Maria, one of the brightest young talents in Spain. They said that he might go to Man City. That's still not done. And you haven't heard anything about this, though, about him in transfer speculation again. But he is the brightest player coming from Sporting Gijón. Obviously, that's where David Villa was groomed. It's one of the best academies in all of Spain. And, you know, Real Madrid have this habit of, at the moment, sucking up all this young talent in Spain. Brahim Diaz, they got from Man City. But along with Maria, Barcelona also linked a few months ago with Pablo Ramon, a 17-year-old Mallorcan center back who has been groomed in one of the better academies in Spain, in Mallorca. He has looked very promising of what I've seen as well. So do you think, when you think about the piece of business that Barcelona did with Todibo, there are names that everybody knows, but then you also have like these 17-year-old, 18-year-old players, particularly those in Spain that Barcelona could get at a high discount. How do you feel about those kind of transfers, about these kind of rumors? What is it? I mean, again, you don't put stock in them because you think they're agents, but does that Barcelona should have pulled the trigger on these guys or at least get first options? Or I always feel like that's a January transfer news that I want to hear, is that Barcelona are going after just these young players to get first options and try to shore up their future that way.
Yeah, you know, obviously we hear a lot of rumors, and some are obviously worth a lot more than others, but with these young players, I think that it is important to, especially for clubs in Spain such as us, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, to get the, you know, we're all kind of fishing in the same pond in that sense. We all want the next best thing from Spain, and to get at least a first option, if we can't get a firm deal, is very, very important. We've seen players such as Sal Niguez and Oliver Torres a few years ago, who was very promising at Atletico, and there was rumours at the time that Barca had a first option on them players. To this day, we're still not entirely sure whether we do have one on Saul Niguez, but you see how good of a player he's become and how important it is a few years in advance to get a first option like that, which, you know, ultimately doesn't cost as much in money or negotiations, and in the long run could be so, so important for us.
Yeah, so a little guy that even with a first option is going to cost $80
million. Yeah, so I was just talking about actually getting the first option on the player, not actually activating it, if you know what I mean, but having that as an option is big for us in terms of transfer shortlist, and if he's worth it, you know, pulling the trigger on a player like that, because some of these players coming out of Spain are that talented.
Well, this has been a great conversation, Alex, and just to wrap it up, I want to ask where people can find you.
Yep, so at Total Barca on Twitter, that's where I am most of the time. Obviously, the whole team of us, but that's where I spend most of my time on Twitter. So, look, thanks for having me. It was a great talk, great podcast. You've got a great show going on here, and I hope that people have enjoyed it.
Yeah, again, I really appreciate you coming on, Alex. And, you know, it is a chicken or the egg thing where, I mean, with Total Barca, it seems like a lot of people that probably listen to this show have heard of Total Barca first. I mean, I've been familiar with it for a number of years now. They popped up on some Copa 90 stuff in the past. I mean, this was 6-7 years ago, and Total Barca has continued to be one of the leading voices in the Barcelona community online and, you know, in a lot of senses often as well. So again, thanks to you listeners as well for tuning in. You can tap your app, check out the show notes. If you're one of the, two or three people who are not already following Total Barca on Twitter, again, that'll be in the show notes. You can subscribe as well and find us on social media. We're on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod or at HiltonD13 for me, on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. Our closed Facebook group where you heard these listener questions today is, of course, tbpod.link/group. We do deeper dive and discussion as well. It's not just these questions. Those guys are constantly chirping and having those conversations. I mean, when I woke up today, there was 4 or 5 different stories and conversations going on about Todino. And all you have to do is answer the 3 questions and I'll let you into the group. That's all it is. If you don't answer the questions, you don't get into the group. So if I've denied your request, that's why. And the final way to help us out on Patreon, that's where I do, again, we don't talk on the show too much about match reviews, but that is where we do our match reviews. I do a little bit of a quick take, hot take. I discuss the matches that I just saw, get it out within 12, 13 hours of the game happening, usually right after as well. So we can continue making these shows with some help on Patreon, tbpod.link/Patreon. So that wraps all that up. Again, Alex, thanks so much for joining the show. And thanks to you, the listeners, for listening to the Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Forza Barça.
What if Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night?
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.